I would like to go over the first period of when I first met Albert Eiler. It was in Copenhagen, and I was working with Sonny Rollins at the time on a tour, my first time to Europe, and we were playing at a concert at the concert house in Copenhagen. And after the concert, this man walked up to me, and right away I felt that I had known him before, you know, with sparkling eyes and a happy smile. And I remember at that time Sonny Rollins and I were tuning up into the type of music that I was playing and the type of music that he was playing. And we were reaching an understanding of why, you know, why did I... He knew I had the background of the jazz basics of chords and melody, and why sometimes would I venture off into this abstract feeling of music, you know. And that particular evening, after the concert, and everyone had left the hall, Sonny and Rollins, everyone was going out of the theater, the concert hall, but Sonny Rollins, myself, we were still on the stage speaking, and this man, Albert Eiler, was waiting for me because we had planned to go to the jazz club after. And he patiently waited, and Sonny Rollins and I was having a very deep discussion on music in general and life. And afterwards, Albert and I went to our hotel room, and we sat and talked, and I felt a moment, I could feel this feeling of being in the presence of someone that was caring. The gift and the voice and reflection of God. And it's only been a very few people within my lifetime that I have met that I feel have carried this light as musicians, you know. And afterward, as we finished talking, we ventured over to this club, the Montmartre, and we had our horns to play. I remember that night, Dexter Gordon and Don Byas was working in the club. And there, you know, we at first just myself and Dexter, and I think maybe Kenny Chu was playing piano or something. And I sat in and played a few songs with Dexter and Don Byas, some I Got Rhythm or something. Albert had his horn, and the club was very crowded, and I didn't, you know, while we were playing the first two songs, I hadn't seen him. And suddenly, someone suggested to play a ballad, a medley of ballads. Oh, I'll never forget this. And everyone played their medley. And then, you know, usually the natural form for jazz is everyone takes, and then the piano comes in. And right before the piano, all of a sudden, I heard this sound. And Albert came on the bandstand to play with us. Trying to remember the song, I can't really. And I remember the first time of me hearing Ornette Coleman. I remember the first time of me hearing John Coltrane. All I could hear and feel all this within his sound. And see, it's a very, when you first, what they say, when before you become known, when you're woodshedding, is the term we use, studying and practicing, and you, I mean, you're not thinking of no, you're not playing, you have, everyone has their own reason for playing music, and it's a certain naturalness before you get discovered by the commercial world and they put you in this thing, you know? And, all that naturalness was in this man's sound, all that love. And to me, it was like the word that came back. We've all heard of the word in the Bible. First there was the word, and the word that was lost. And in hearing this man's sound, it was there. I had the feeling of when I was very young, my parents would take my sister and I to us on Sundays to church. It was a Baptist church. They'd leave us there early in the morning. We'd go Sunday school, the afternoon meeting, and then the evening meeting, and then the radio show that night, you know? And then they would come and pick us up. And the feeling in a Baptist holiness type church is where that everyone feels the spirit in the room. And people become happy about it. You know, some people, they say you speak languages. But it's this whole feeling of the spirit being in the room and of this feeling of bliss. And it happened that night in me hearing Albert Isla play. I must make it clear that in the Western world, that and I'm this is a fact that everyone you come from poverty, you come from the ghetto, you come from especially we should say in America, want to play music, and music's all around you, and your family plays music, everyone sings, and it's, you learn the gospel music first, you know, everyone says, oh, the blues, and everything. But you learn from the music of the gospel, the church, you know, everyone has that indebted in their soul when they're young. And you become, you know, you have to, it's always put into you to make an occupation, you know. I'm in this thing of ambition and intuition, you know. And this, they put this thing of, well, you must, what profession, you must think about a profession all your life, you know. You can't feel that you must do this because you must do this, you know. And there's only a very few people that can come through this, can feel that what they do is because they must do it. Not knowing the reason why, other than some inner force is driving you, you know. And as you come out, you have to make a living, survival, and you start playing jobs and this, you know. In the West, everyone playing, you reach this level of playing for money, you know. But there's a few people that play for the love of God, and as a reflection from God. And Albert Isla was one of these people. I didn't see Albert again after that night in Copenhagen. And before I continue on, I'd like to say my wife, Moki, she knew Albert before I did. Both met around that same time, so maybe she should explain like what he was going through. She knew around that period he had just come out of the army, and he's not the kind of a man that should go to the army, you know. We, no one is